Well, hello again. Let me pray and then we'll jump into the fifth commandment. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, again, that you are a speaking God. You are the God who is not like the idols and the false gods around our world, but you are the God who speaks and has spoken so powerfully. And we pray this morning you help us to hear that word and to live it out to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me start off with a few complaints that we might hear around us in our world. Here's the first one. We are seeing the decay of good family life. Parental control is a thing of the past and children no longer obey their parents. Or here is another similar complaint. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. Or one more, just for fun. Says this, the world is passing through troublesome times. The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. They talk as if they know everything. And what passes for wisdom with us is foolishness with them. As for the girls, they are formed and immodest and unwomanly in speech, behavior, and dress. Now, if I told you that I'd only just recently heard those complaints, you'd probably think that I visited a nursing home during the week and overheard a group of wise elderly members of our society mourning over the young people of today, which there's some reason to mourn over them. But some of you might know this already. These are very old complaints. The first there was written by a guy called Peter the Hermit around 800 years ago. The second complaint, this is the one that some people might have recognized. The second one, next slide. Was famously said and written by Socrates almost 2,500 years ago. And the third one comes from ancient Egypt, written 3,000 years ago. I think that's amazing. We always talk as if, you know, we've progressed, but not much has changed. There's nothing new under the sun. And as we come to the fifth commandment, given to Moses 3,500 years ago, so older than any of those complaints, we can kind of think of this command as the command for the kind of old, fuddy-duddy, grumpy types who like to complain about the youth of today. And so they say, honour your parents, because that's what the fifth commandment says. You should respect them and obey them. And so that's sometimes what we think about when we think of the fifth commandment. But hopefully you know by now the commandments have so much more to say than we first might realise. And while there is something to say to the young people from this command, now this command is actually there to teach all of us, no matter how old we are, what it looks like to honour parents and why that's important. Next week we'll think about particularly the first four commandments and the second six commandments and what the differences are. But today I just didn't have time to deal with that as well. But we'll do that next week. Because this is the first commandment of the second half of the commandments, but we'll talk about that next week. But somewhat similar to last week, with this command, we kind of quickly want to jump to the kind of practicalities of the fifth command. So do I still have to honour my parents when I'm not a child anymore? Or what if my parents are not believers? Do I have to honour them? Should I honour them? Or what does it look like to honour your parents? Well, when actually I can't see much reason to honour them. They don't seem to give me very much cause to honour them because of the difficulty of that relationship. But like last week, we need to start first with the principles when it comes to this command and not most of the commandments. We need to understand why did God give this command as one of the 10? Because it is there in the top 10, so why is it so important? And I need to say from the beginning that it's impossible for me to cover all the practicalities of this command. Because each one of us here is a child. We're all children. And we all have our own unique set of relationships with our parents. And for some of us, in the purposes of God, we have had overall good relationships with our parents. And for some of us, not so good. And in a room this size, for some of us, the relationship we've had with our parents, to be honest, has been a nightmare. Has not been good. For others, again, perhaps in a room this size, we've never known our mum or we've never known our dad, and or maybe we've never known either of our parents. And so it's a hard command in lots of ways because it's personal. But I want to say up front that it's impossible to deal with all the practicalities of each one of us, because we all have individual, unique relationships with both our mother and our father and our parents and what that might look like. But that's why we need to understand the principle of this command, and that's what we're going to spend most of our time doing, is understanding why has God given this as one of the ten, and why is it good? So I want to look at three main areas, and the first is the fifth commandment and the society. So that's the first point there on your outlines. And you might have noticed as we read it out, as Dawn read the commandment out for us, you might have noticed, but have a look again at Exodus 20, verse 12. Just have a look at it. Because do you see why we are to honour our parents? So verse 12, it's honour your father and your mother. Why? So that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And so from the beginning, it's not so much, you know, honour your parents, honour your mother and your father, because if you don't, they'll despise you and make you eat Brussels sprouts all your days. No, it's honour them so that you may have a long life in the land. And remember, this is written originally to Israel. And so the idea there, it's not so much, you know, you the individual will have long life, as in if you honour your parents, you'll live that extra bit longer. No, it's you, the collective Israel. You need to honour your parents. You, the collective Israel, the society, you need to do so that you remain long in the land. So that the land God has blessed you with will be a blessing to you. That you will be blessed in the land that God has given you. And when Moses gives this commandment again to Israel in Deuteronomy, so the second giving of the law, the idea of blessing and prosperity in the land becomes clearer there. So it's up on the screen. So this is the same commandment in Deuteronomy. When Moses gives it again, he says, honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and so that you may prosper in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so the commandment from the very beginning, it wasn't simply about, you know, good table manners at home to honour mum and dad with. It was a commandment that would impact all of Israel. It was a commandment that would impact all of the society. It was key to prospering as a society. Why? Well, because the family unit in God's good design is the bedrock and foundation of any society. So this is a family commandment. Because your family, that is your first society. Your family, your immediate family, that is your first church. Your family is your first school, is your first teacher, is your first educator. It's the place where we first learn how to relate and how to live and how to act and how to do. And of course, there's always exceptions, but generally your family can set the course of the rest of your life. How you live, how you think, what you think, what you believe. Even how you respond to authority and authority figures. You learn that in the family. So Augustine, a fourth century theologian, he once said this. It's up on the screen. He said, it's your parents you see when you first open your eyes, and it's their friendship that lays down the first strands of this life. If anyone fails to honour his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And again, there are exceptions, but the family unit is the bedrock of any society. If you don't learn authority in the family, there's no chance you'll have any sense of what authority is or submit to any authority in the society. Even modern day social sciences show that stable, loving, caring families are crucial to a well-functioning society. But this commandment is even more important than that, because it's not just for the prospering of the society or of any society, but for the people of God. In a moment, we'll see how important the parent-child relationship is in teaching the ways of the Lord. But this might shock you, but some of the most severe warnings and punishments in the Old Testament were actually reserved for the breaking of the fifth commandment. So here are some of them up on the screen. This is what Exodus 21, the very next chapter, says. Whoever strikes his father or his mother must be put to death. Or, even more shockingly, verse 17 there, whoever curses his father or his mother must be put to death. It's a big deal. Or Deuteronomy 21, this is scary if you're a young man who's a bit rebellious, it says this. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother and doesn't listen to them even after they discipline him, his father and mother must take hold of him and bring him to the elders of his city, to the gate of his hometown. They will say to the elders of this city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He doesn't obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city will stone him to death. You must purge the evil from you, and all Israel will hear and be afraid. Big deal, breaking the fifth commandment. And there's part of me that thinks, you know, wow, like, you know, luckily that I didn't live as a little Jewish boy in the Old Testament times, because I might not be anything more than a young Jewish boy with the way I behaved as a kid. And if ever you want to put the fear of God in your children, read them this, and I'm sure that will scare them. But on the other hand, it just shows how important the family unit is. It shows how important the place of parents are, and honouring parents, and what that means, and how it shows itself in obedience and different things for the plans of God. And we can look at this and think, well, you know, that's Old Testament Israel, and yes, you know, we're no longer under the Old Testament law, and so we can't just take our rebellious sons out to the elders, as tempted as you might be at times. But the New Testament, it doesn't actually look any kindlier on breaking the fifth commandment. So Romans 1 up on the screen, and Paul, Paul's describing the depravity of sin, but he says this, he says, for the sinner, they are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. All those things, and disobedient to parents is one of them. It makes the cut as one of those severe types of sins. You see, God sees the breaking of the fifth commandment as a very serious thing. And that is because in God's good order and his good design, the family unit and the relationship between parents and child is of utter importance. We lose that. We lose very, very, very much. And as our modern society keeps trying to destroy the family unit and get rid of any sense of family, and even more so, particularly as they try to destroy God's design for family and what a family looks like in God's good purposes, well, we'll see significant consequences in our world. I think we already are with depression on the rise and anxiety on the rise and loneliness and loss of identity. When you destroy the family unit, you destroy society. But before we move to think about what then does it look like to honor your parents? What does it look like practically? I just want to think about, why does God give parents the authority to be in a position of honor? You see, why does God give parents the authority to be in a position of honor? And if you are a parent, you must understand that God has given you this position of authority. He has given you this. He's given you a position of being honored by your children just by being a parent. And so that means your role as parent, it comes with responsibility. And it comes with responsibility to care and to nurture. And I think primarily with the responsibility to teach. And this is what the fifth commandment, and this is what makes the fifth commandment so important, is that it's essential in the handing down of the faith as the people of God. It's essential in the handing down of the teaching and instruction of the Lord. And you see that over and over again in the Old Testament, how important it was for the parents to pass on the teachings of the Lord to their kids. But famously, you see it in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6. It says this, Moses said to Israel, he said, this is the command, and this is just after he's given the Ten Commandments. He says, this is the command, the statutes and the ordinances the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you, so that you may follow them in the land you are about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you,
your son and your grandsons, and so that you may have a long life. Verse 7, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And again, you see, for Israelite parents, they had a responsibility to teach their kids the way of the Lord. We actually happened to read this verse with Sebastian the other day as we were doing our Bible times. And Sebastian said, well, let's print this out and let's put it up on the door frame of our kitchen so that we can read it and see it and remind ourselves of this. He said, we are teachers. But also, it says this clearly in Proverbs, and there are heaps of Proverbs I could choose from, but I've picked three. They're up on the screen. So chapter 1, verse 8, it says this, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Or Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep your father's command, and don't reject your mother's teaching. Or Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly, and one who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Let your father and mother have joy, and let her who gave birth to you rejoice. And again, there are lots and lots more proverbs like that that show the parents' teacher role to children. And what's amazing about those verses and the fifth commandment itself is the place it gives to mothers. And we might not know this and we might not realize this, but for that time, that was massively countercultural in Old Testament times and even New Testament times to mention the role of women, let alone to uphold the role of women, particularly as mothers. And I think it's a great sadness of our time that while there have been some great achievements for the value of women in our society, the role of mother, which is so significant in the scriptures and in the way God has made us, is now so undervalued in our society. That's a massive loss. That's a massive shame. I say this all the time, but I never realized how important and significant the role of mum was until my wife became a mother. I just didn't notice. I was ignorant of it. And yet, it's been there in the Bible, in God's wisdom, from the very beginning. See, this upholds the role of mother. But the point is, God has given the role of parents and the role of honor as parents for the good of his people. He's given it for the good of the faith and instruction of the Lord being handed down from generation to generation. And like our first point, that is a good thing for society in and of itself, for a parent to teach their child and their children. For parents to do that is to have a well-functioning society. If you don't teach your kids, then the next generation won't have a sense of understanding of authority and right behavior. Edgar Hoover, he was the head of the FBI in the mid-1900s, and he once said this. He said, the cure for crime is not the electric chair, but the high chair. And Hoover said lots of things, and lots of things he probably shouldn't have said. But there's truth to that. See how important the place of parents teaching their children are, but how much more important for the people of God? How much more important for those of us who are parents and have that role as the primary teachers of our kids in the way of the Lord? And we must remember this. We are the primary, for those of us who are parents, we are the primary God-given relationship with the God-given role of honor as parents for the instruction of the Lord to our kids. And this is not just an Old Testament thing. Again, this is not just a fifth commandment thing. Ephesians chapter 6, which actually quotes the fifth commandment, it tells parents, and particularly fathers, to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That is the God-given role you have if you are a parent. And if I can talk to parents for a moment, regardless of how old your children are, you never stop being a parent. It doesn't matter how old they are. And what you must do is prioritize that role. You see, kids' church that we have here at church is fantastic, but it's not the primary teachers of your kids. Scripture and SRE that we still have in our schools is fantastic, but that is not the primary teaching of your kids in the way of the Lord. Youth group is not. The other members of our congregation here who are a great blessing. What a blessing the family, the church family is, that all of us love each other and teach each other in the ways of the Lord. But that is not the primary teachers of your kids. You are. And God has given you that role. And if we're to have any chance in combating the world and what our world is trying to do in taking our children away and taking our children into the corruption and greed and depravity of our world, well, then we must prioritize that role. We who are parents need to be godly examples to our children. We need to give our time to them so that we can teach them the ways of the Lord. And that's never an easy thing. If you're a parent, you know that your children see the worst of you. If you're unlucky, they'll repeat it to other people around and they'll find out the truth about what you really like. Children know your faults better than most. We all fail at times, but the fifth commandment teaches us that our God-given responsibility as father and mother means that we must take that priority of teaching them up, teaching them in the way of the Lord. That is our role. But let's move on now to the third and final point, and that is the fifth commandment and us as children. And again, we're all children. This is relevant for all of us. And like I said at the beginning, it's impossible for me to address every person here and every circumstance we represent as children. And so while I'll mention some specifics, it's the principles that we need to make sure we understand. And then you have to do the hard work. How does that apply in your own unique circumstance? But the principle in the command is honor. That's what it asks us to do. It says, honor your father and your mother. And the word honor there, it's the same word that's used in the Old Testament for glory. So we talk about give God glory, bring glory to God. It's the same word. And so it carries this idea of weightiness. That's what glory is. It's weightiness. That's what honor is. It's weightiness. It's giving due weight to something. And I think with the fifth commandment, it's the idea of particularly giving due weight to a position of a parent. So God has given parents the position of authority and honor over their children. And so what we need to do as children is give due weight to their position. And notice there in the commandment that there's no time frame on the honor and when that honor is due. So it's not, you know, honor your mother and father as such time as to when you don't want to do it anymore, or as such time as when you grow too old for it. No, your father, mother is always your father, mother. There's no indication in the commandment that you stop honoring your parents. Now, does that mean how you honor your parents never changes? As a young child and teenager, you're completely dependent on your parents, and so you need to abide to their rules, and you need to abide to their standards while you live under their roof. But I think that clearly changes when you get married. So when a husband and wife are united to each other, what do? They leave the mother-father relationship and they become united to another type of relationship. And then that changes how you honor your parents. You still honor them, but it's not okay for the father-in-law or the mother-in-law to call up the son and daughter and tell them what they must do. If your parents do that, yes, there's wisdom in what they say, and you need to honor your parents and listen to them and weigh up the things that they say, but you're not called to obey your parents in that circumstance if you're in a husband-wife relationship. I think that's a clear moment when how you honor your parents changes. You don't stop honoring them, but there's a change. Or another stage might be when you leave home. So if you're not married, well, maybe a clear stage is when you leave home. So you're no longer under the roof of your mum and dad, and you're no longer as dependent on them. And so how you honor them, it changes. But nonetheless, you still honor them. And so you might honor them by making sure you still have a relationship with them. You don't write them off. You don't fail to visit them. You don't fail to call them. And it's hard to say, when you become an adult is when the honoring of your parents changes, because when does someone become an adult is very hard. Is it as 18? Just think back when you were 18. You tell me if you think you're an adult and responsible. It's hard. But the point is, you never stop honoring them. And notice the commandment doesn't say, honor your father and mother when they are worthy of being honored, or when they treat you in a way that is worthy of you honoring them. The commandment just says, honor them. And that raises lots of questions. And again, we don't have time to deal with in detail with the obvious ones, but I just want to quickly list a couple of questions that come up. So what if my parents are non-believers? And what if my parents ask me to do something that is contrary to what God says? Now, do I still have to honor them if they do that? And the answer is, I think the Bible says, yes, you do still have to honor them. Because the commandment doesn't say, obey your father and your mother. That's not what it says. It says, honor them. God doesn't say, obey them in everything. He says, honor them. And so if your parents tell you to do something contrary to God's word, well, then you don't obey them, but you still honor them in how you don't obey them. And what that looks like is as various as all the different scenarios you can think of when that might happen. But I think a good, interesting biblical example is to think of Jonathan in the Old Testament. So you think of Jonathan and his father, King Saul, and what King Saul wanted to do to David, and he wanted to kill David in an unjust way. And if you read 1 Samuel 19, I think there you see Jonathan rightly disagreeing with his father in his ungodly actions. But you see Jonathan, I think, honoring his father, honoring King Saul, even though what he wanted to do was ungodly. And so how he responds to his father, I think, is a good example of how we can honor our parents if they're non-Christians or if they ask us to do something that actually disobeys God's word. And the point is, how we respond is in light of remembering that God is first. God comes first, but because God comes first, we still honor our parents. Again, it's tricky depending on the situations, but I think 1 Samuel 19 is a helpful read. But it does get harder when it comes to issues of abuse and neglect. And again, we don't have time to deal with that in detail. That's a huge topic. But I think God still wants us to honor our parents. I think this command still calls us to honor our parents, even in those situations of abuse and neglect. And in that situation, I think we might honor our parents by forgiving them. I think that's a very real way to honor them. And that, again, that's a massive topic in and on its own, and it's difficult, and it's by no means easy. And forgiveness in that situation doesn't mean that you have to continue the relationship. You can forgive people, you can forgive your parents, and not necessarily have to continue having a relationship with them. It's not saying put yourself in a position of difficulty and of harm and of abuse, but you can forgive without continuing a relationship. And I think you can honor failed parents by forgiving them and for praying for them. And even if your parents don't know that you've forgiven them and they don't know that you're praying for them, God knows. And I think in that situation, that pleases God. That is a situation in which we honor God by praying and forgiving our parents. I know it's hard, and that might take time, and it might be a journey, but I think God still calls us to honor our parents. But what does it look like in a positive sense? And I'll finish with this. What does it look like in a positive sense to honor parents? Well, I think for younger children, it looks like every young parent's dream, that kids listen, that they say, yes, Mum, that they say, yes, Dad, that kids don't groan or moan. Just imagine that if you've got little kids, that they never groan or moan and say yes and nod their heads. It's about all you can do is imagine it. But that's how we teach them. That's the ideal. That's what it looks like for them to honor their parents. And it's an opportunity for us as parents to teach them what it looks like to honor. But what about for adult children, which is most of us here? Most of us here are adult children. Well, if you're a younger adult, and I'll let you decide if you're a younger adult or not, but it's calling your parents. Call them. It's visiting your parents. It's listening to their counsel and not being too quick to write them off and not being too quick to cut them short. It's not speaking badly of your parents to other people. And as I've reflected on these things, I've been guilty of that, of not calling my parents enough, of being too quick to write them off, of speaking ill of them to others. Ironically, my dad's been down from Brisbane for the last few days and has been staying with us at my house as I've been preparing this sermon. And it's hard. It can be hard to honour your parents even as an adult. But if your parents are elderly, well, then I think you honour them by caring for them in their old age. And I don't want to say that aged care homes have no place, because I think they do have a good place. But I think we need to be really careful when it comes to aged care homes. Because I think what we're doing often now is we're simply outsourcing the care and honour that we should be giving our elderly parents. That we're writing them off, that we're giving them to retirement villages to have them do really what we should be doing. And so we need to be careful there. We can't just outsource the honouring of our parents. God calls us to honour our parents. But if they are in a retirement village, make sure you visit them often. Make sure you call them. Go and see them. Tell them you love them. And I think honouring parents is helping them financially if need be. They bore a great cost for us when we were unable to provide for ourselves as young children. So we need to care for them. We need to help them if they're unable to provide for themselves financially. And Paul says of widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says of the widows that if those widows aren't provided for from their own family, well, Paul says that person who fails to provide for his widowed mother, that person is worse than an unbeliever. See, we care for our parents financially in their old age if they are unable to provide for themselves. Again, like most weeks in our series, there's so much more to say, but please use the feedback slips if you have more questions or if you have particulars you want to ask me about, go for it. But I want to finish off just by looking at the perfect child and our perfect model of honour in Jesus. And there are many good examples of how Jesus rightly honoured both his earthly mother and father and his heavenly father. And in our Luke reading that was read out for us, I think you see there how Jesus balances both honouring his earthly parents but also his father in heaven. But it's at the cross that we see Jesus honouring at its greatest. And it's in John chapter 19, which we did late last year. But just let me read it for you and just see how you see God honouring both his earthly parents and his heavenly father in that picture. It says this up on the screen. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home. After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I'm thirsty." And when Jesus had received the sour wines, he said, "It is finished." Then bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And there on the cross, we see Jesus both honouring his earthly mother, that even when he was there, and just picture the scene, there suffering on the cross in intense agony, what was Jesus worried about? He was worried about his mother. He was still concerned for her and for her care. And we see there on the cross Jesus honouring his heavenly father. Remember how he prayed, "Not my father, but your, not my will, but yours." That Jesus was obedient even to death on the cross, finishing the work that his father had sent him to do. And he was honouring God there in his death. And while we must aim at the model of Jesus, knowing that we can never fulfill the fifth commandment like Jesus did, or we can live like Jesus, knowing that he has fulfilled that fifth commandment for us. Well, let me pray that God might help us in that. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your good plan in the way that you have ordered your world and in the place you have given to families, to parents and to children, and to the role of parents of being honoured, and to the role of children of honouring their parents. And we pray, Father, that we might be people who live out your good commandments, and that we honour our parents, and we see for us who are parents the great responsibility we have to teach our kids in the way of the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that even though we fall short of this, that in Jesus we have been forgiven of the ways that we have fallen short, but also in Jesus we have fulfilled that commandment in him and have his righteousness on us. This we thank you for in his name. Amen.